I'm Patrick Finley's Jason Leisure coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason will talk about the most bananas ending we've seen the Bears have in a long time and what a slog it was even to get to that point. That and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason will lead with the most important thing, Hail Mary at the end of the game, 53 yards. Jaden Daniels, the Commanders quarterback, is allowed to stand in the backfield for almost 13 seconds before he heaves the ball to about the 2-yard line. It gets tipped back into the end zone where Noah Brown is standing all alone at the first M in Commanders in the end zone. Commanders win on a walk-off Hail Mary, 18-15. Jason, I can't remember ever covering a game, college or pro, that ended on a Hail Mary. That was pretty, it was pretty unbelievable to see in person, and a pretty terrible thing to happen for the Bears. I say for the Bears and not to the Bears because, as we'll get into, it's not, they were the victim of bad luck here at the end, but they could have done some things better as well.
I saw LSU beat Florida once on a game I covered on a fake field goal that was a bounce pass from the holder to whoever the ball was going to on the run, and I don't even remember how it was legal. It was the narrowest of loopholes that, of course, of all people, Les Miles found. But let's work backward here, like you're saying, Pat. I mean, first off, if you live anywhere but Chicago, you loved this.
Right.
Because if you lived anywhere but Chicago, for how long have you been getting stuck watching Bears-Commanders games and been like, oh, no, not this again? And, man, you got a doozy today. What an ending.
In the fourth quarter.
What an ending.
The first three quarters weren't very
good. Worth it, though. Yeah. Worth it for that ending. It was incredible. Let's start there. That is the play the Bears lost on, and they did screw that up. That was not just, there's some luck that goes into converting that, but there was also some, the Bears tipping the odds in favor of Washington by misplaying it. Matt Eberflus acknowledged that. That is not the only reason that they lost. They spent all afternoon working on that loss, and they did a lot of things that put them in position where, hey, if Doug Kramer doesn't fumble the ball at the goal line and they score, what's that Hail Mary worth down 10?
What position does Doug Kramer play?
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
It's hard. I'm getting reverse ahead of myself here somehow. On the Hail Mary itself, I can't believe that. I did not know that was 13 seconds till you just said it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it was 8 or 9. But Jaden Daniels had all the time in the world, and he was going side to side, Pet. Mm-hmm. And we're positioned at the press box at whatever this is called stadium now.
Northwest Stadium?
I probably knew that. But we were like behind the Commander's offense on that play. And I'm sitting there like, what is he doing? What is he looking for going side to side? It's a Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. You just chuck it into the crowd and you see what happens. I don't know what he was eyeing, but whatever it was, the right opportunity came up. He throws it into the crowd. Tyreek Stevenson, and we will get to him. Tyreek Stevenson deflects it, and it just bounces perfectly to, is the guy's name Noah Brown? Noah Brown, backup wide receiver for them. He just like so casually just caught it. Walked toward the goalpost, and the entire stadium erupted. That was an incredible ending. Now, Matt Eberflus said they practiced that. He said you could hear the parental restraint in his voice when he said, "We have practiced that play hundreds of times since I've been here." And the thing that was missing is it is a distinct part of defending a play like that, which you know is coming. You know that's what they're going to do. That's all they can do at that point from midfield. There's a distinct part of that play where somebody is supposed to be the tip guy who is in back to make sure that if something does happen where it gets tipped, it's not going lightly and carefully and pleasantly into Noah Brown's arms.
And that guy might have been Tyreek Stevenson. We don't know.
Hard to say. Eberflus didn't know. He said it's predicated on exactly where everything goes down on the play. It's not one designated person necessarily. It could change based on various variables.
And let me tell you what Tyreek Stevenson was doing at the beginning of the play.
Unbelievable.
Beginning of the play, he had his back to the play, to the quarterback. As the ball snapped, he is looking into the stands. And he is waving his hands and taunting the fans and getting all fired up. And he turns around and goes, oh, my God, like there are receivers running down the field.
The ball snaps. His back is to the play.
And I guess in a little bit of good luck for him, It took them 13 seconds to throw the ball. So he ran over kind of to the middle of the mosh pit, and was there and leapt, but I mean his brain was not there, and his brain was not there all day. He had an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty at the end of the third quarter. He did a couple of questionable things all game, and you're sitting there going, you know, this guy's out of control, and you know, to at the least, it's a terrible look, and at the worst, he cost them the game when the Hail Mary landed.
Well, that's the biggest concern with this play, this particular play where this ball is snapped, where he's got his back to the ball, and he comes over, and I guess if that's what he was supposed to do, unless he's shirking some responsibility, makes a play.
Yeah.
He's fast enough, and there was enough time, and whatever, he ends up making a play. What's really problematic, if Jalen Johnson did that, you would kind of be like, well, you know, I kind of get it. He thought the game was over. Right. When do those Hail Marys get completed? You know, he was kind of not paying it. He was a little checked out. Not good, but I get how that could happen. When Tyrique Stevenson does it, it fits a concerning pattern. And by the way, setting that aside, he's already struggling just in coverage.
Yep.
He's a second-round pick. He is the guy. And granted, he's playing with some really good corners out there, his teammates. But they're targeting him. They were targeting him all day today. And then he has this brutal finger-in-the-face mask to one of the offensive linemen on Washington that put Washington at, like, the Bears 36. I don't remember how the rest of that drive unfolded, but a total mental lapse. Just couldn't leave well enough alone. And now this, and this is a guy who gets a lot of penalties anyway, who runs hot. There's already kind of questions about, is Tyrique Stevenson, is he able to control himself and rein in his emotions during a game? And Pat, why couldn't they bench him? It's their deepest position.
Well, the Bears.
This is really dicey for Tyrique Stevenson to be doing this when they've got good backups that could play behind
him. Well, they have Terrell Smith, who is back. He was back this week. You'd think he'd be healthier next week and ready to go. Tyrique also needs to realize that he's playing in a defensive backfield that's missing Jaquan Brisker, who's still concussed. It's missing Kyler Gordon, who's still injured. They need him to be good and to be the best version of himself, and he was not. Jason, just to get to that point, though, the Bears had to play some pretty lousy football for three quarters. They were down 12-0 with a minute to play in the third quarter when they finally got on the board.
56-yard run by DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift gets them going. Today, by the way, most rushing yards of the season for DeAndre Swift. Looking really good. They get back in the game, and all of a sudden, we're in the middle of the fourth quarter, and the Bears somehow, thanks to a missed field goal and some other fortune, a pretty good defense, at the ball, third and goal at the one, down 12-7. You want to tell me what happened there, Jason?
Shane Waldron got Matt Nagy level cute and sends him out in the power eye where you have Doug Kramer at fullback. Doug Kramer, a backup offensive lineman who I think has played something like 20 snaps of offense in his career. And they've been doing this, using him as the substitute fullback, as a lead blocker in that formation. But they don't give the ball to Roschon Johnson. With the game on the line, they give the ball to Doug Kramer. Quite a time to call for Doug Kramer's first ever NFL carry. Maybe first ever carry ever, 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 ever. And he fumbles it.
He fumbles it.
Caleb Williams puts the ball into his chest. It's hard. Technically, Doug Kramer didn't even fumble because he never got his hands on it. That fumble has been charged to Caleb Williams, but Doug Kramer was the one that messed it up. It goes right into his chest, Pat. He never gets his arms around it. Bounces forward into the Commanders and defense, and they recover it. Jazan Newton, fellow Illini, him and Doug Kramer, Jazan Newton recovers it at the three, and that ends the threat. And I think at that point it was 12-7, right? Mm-hmm. So that puts you up 14-7. I mean, things are 14-12. Things are looking a little different, you know, if you're getting another touchdown after that and you're going into that Hail Mary with no risk at all.
Sure. And the Bears then force a three and out, get the ball. Caleb Williams marches them down the field, makes two throws, 22-yarder to Keenan Allen. I'm doing this off the top of my head. 16 to Roma Dunze, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to the point where it's fourth and three at the 12. And they line up and they look for who do you throw the ball to on third
down?
You know it. Keenan Allen. Throw it up in the end zone. He gets interfered with. The Bears have got first and goal. at the 1 yard line.
It was a bailout because that ball was in the seats. I don't think Keenan Allen was going to catch that.
Keenan said he got tangled and then he did his best flop, which I enjoy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Keenan admitting that. The Bears score and you think that this thing is done. And then
30 seconds left.
30 seconds, I think, after the kick return, it was 26. They ran four plays. Three of them were completions. And Caleb Williams' homecoming is ruined. I want to talk real quick about the Caleb-Jaden Daniels dynamic. Jaden Daniels plays today after nursing a rib injury all week. Puts up some pretty spectacular
plays
numbers.
Well.
Plays really well. Of course, a Hail Mary completion will make your numbers look even better. But even before that, he was great. And Caleb was absolutely not. It was the worst statistical game he's played in a long time. Maybe going back to week one. His lowest passer rating, I think, since week two. It's just rough all the way around.
The completion percentage was shocking. 10 for 24. I mean, you thought his debut was bad mm-hmm. when he was at 49%. That's like 42%, I think, right there, 10 for 24. Caleb Williams was a disaster. Mm-hmm. He was terrible. And there's some element of that's going to happen with a rookie quarterback, but it doesn't seem to be happening on the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jaden Daniels just doesn't play games like that, and you saw a lot of theoretical progress by Caleb Williams against these very bad defenses that they played the last three games. Mm-hmm. And the Commanders are not a great defense. They're just kind of defensively middle of the road. Mm-hmm. They have a very good defensive-minded head coach in Dan Quinn. But, I mean, they're just, I think they're 15th or 16th mm-hmm. in points allowed. I mean, they're not the Ravens or the Steelers or somebody like that. And now you have to figure out, well, okay, did those things not translate? Is it that Caleb Williams maybe didn't make that progress that everyone thought he made, and instead he just feasted on some bad teams? And you could apply basically all these discussion points to the offense at large. But also, Pat, it's hard to discern exactly how much regression there was by Caleb Williams when the offensive line failed him. Again,
failed them. You had Braxton Jones leave with a knee injury. You had Tevin Jenkins leave with a knee injury. I saw Tevin afterward. He looked okay. I didn't see Braxton. Doug Kramer comes in.
Bill Murray
comes in and hurts
Tevin's backup.
And hurts a peck. Nate Davis still wearing a baseball cap and sweats. And a Bears offensive line that had been getting better, I thought, now looks to be in some real trouble. And you know, with the trade deadline here, you know, in the, you know, what, 10 days away, I guess it's best that the Bears know this now when they can do something about it versus 2 weeks from now. But, you know, Karan Almagazi had to come play left tackle. It's a tough ask for a guy who never played above the Ivy League. Made a great block on the long DeAndre Swift run.
Two great blocks.
Yeah, knocked two guys down, but really struggled in pass protection. And you just wonder what the Bears are going to end up doing.
I have a lot of concern with how they looked defensively, actually. Even though, again, you even giving up the Hail Mary at the end, Pet, you got to walk out of here happy holding them to 18 points. Any game where you hold the other team to 18 points, you should win. Mm-hmm. But they gave up almost 500 yards. I mean, there was a lot of, they talk about bend, don't break. But, man, it was bend to the extreme. They bailed themselves out, and they get credit for these plays. They bailed themselves out with really big third down plays, getting off the field after giving up some yards, turning what could be touchdowns for the Commanders into just field goals. You said it was 12-0. That was four scoring drives
right.
for the Commanders. That could have been 28-0.
Well, and one of the field goals came after there was a touchdown that came back on an illegal man downfield penalty. You had a 51-yard field goal attempt that just was shanked so bad that we thought it was tipped.
Wasn't, by the way.
I don't know if you guys saw, but
there were lapses. Yeah. There were downfield lapses. McLaurin got behind Stevenson mm-hmm. for a deep catch. And Jaden Daniels is really, really good. He threw for 326 yards. He ran for 56, I think. He's very, very good. He's not the only guy like that, though. In fact, there's a guy like that next week. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are going to face these quarterbacks that will run on you. And you can't just concede that, oh, well, we're going to give up 7 yards per carry to this guy, and he's going to beat us through the air. That's really problematic for the Bears' defense.
It is.
It's alarming.
Like you said, if they don't give up the Hail Mary, they walk out of here giving up 12 points. Like, it's about the best you could have hoped. And, you know, yards or no yards, I worry about Kyler Murray. I worry more about the NFC North quarterbacks. And, you know, we'll see whether Jordan Love's really hurt. He got banged up today.
Groin injury, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know whether you saw that. But, you know, everybody's got a guy. Like, you know, you can't play Will Levis every week.
Or Anthony Richardson.
Or Anthony Richardson, yeah. And big picture, Jason, then we'll get out of here.
That's why I don't want to hear it. I don't ever like this argument, Pat. This is something you hear in the NFL. The offensive line will say, this team's got really good defensive linemen. Or the defense will tell you, like, oh, well, this quarterback or these receivers. Right. To find me an NFL team that's got just like a bunch of fat guys playing wide receiver.
You know, they get paid too, Jason. I don't know whether you know this. Big picture, and then we'll get out of here. Is today a reflection of the Bears' ability to win? Was today dumb luck aided by some decisions that could have been different? Is today a sign of anything to come?
Let me ask you this. If you ignore the score to this game, did the Bears play well? Was this a good winning?
Offensively, no. Absolutely not.
And I think defensively it was shaky at times. They pulled through in the really clutch moments to keep Washington at 12 points until the very last play, then 18. This is not a team that you feel confident in taking on the Packers.
No.
Or Vikings, or Lions, mm-hmm. or 49ers. These are all the teams that are coming.
Right.
And all they have proven, all the Bears have proven at this point, is that they're not a joke. They're not one of these joke teams like Carolina, mm-hmm. which is what the Bears had been, by the way.
For years.
Is a step, yeah. step forward, not to be a joke and be able to at least beat up on bad teams. But when you look like this against a team that we think is good, mm-hmm. Commanders probably pretty good. I mean, not a Super Bowl contender, definitely in your weight class if you're the Bears. Mm-hmm. And this is how you look. That's really concerning because you've got a lot of teams either this good or better coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe the Cardinals. The Cardinals are close to it.
Cardinals are 4-4.
Yeah. Patriots at home will be the definition of your last easy day was yesterday. So we will see. Jason, we'll tackle all of this as the week goes on, as we hear from Tyreek Stevenson, perhaps in person, for an apology tomorrow.
Yeah, after all that, by the way, after all his... all of his errors today, refused to speak to the media afterward.
Issued an apology on Twitter. He said, my bad, essentially. But we will break that down as the week goes on. Jason, until then, you can follow Jason, myself, and Mark Potash on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website. And in print, he's Jason Leach. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.